I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
What's up, everybody? Happy Monday. Junkies back with you on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. As always, presented by EMP-102 Weight Loss, Structure Accountability Results, the standard for weight loss in the area. It's EMP-102weightloss.com. We thank you for tuning in this Monday morning, August 13th, 2018. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Jason Bishop.
Good morning.
Morning, and look who's back, Eric Bickle.
Hey, good morning. How are you guys?
Hey, back from his vacay.
Yep.
Did the back old yesterday. OBX.
Yep, did Outer Banks trip. Got lucky, got a great week. I think it only rained the last day, like in the afternoon.
Very nice.
Amazing. Amazing weather. It was awesome.
What was the travel time coming back?
4 hours, 30 minutes. Oh, we get there quick.
That is sweet.
We leave early, though. I mean, we left at like 5:45. Oh. We don't mess around. If you stay later, it gets stuck in some traffic. It could take you up to 7 or 8 hours. But if you leave at 5:30.
It took me 4.5 just to get back from Ocean City yesterday.
Did it?
Disaster.
Yeah. Yeah, that sucks. What time did you leave? Like right in the middle of the day?
I left at 10:30.
Yeah, it's kind of like prime time.
Yeah, that was stupid.
I think what you do is you leave early or late.
Yeah, yeah. Well, believe me, I told myself I was going to get up and get out of the house by 8, but that didn't happen.
Yeah. I don't even know. Is 8 good enough? I mean, we don't mess around.
In the morning?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. I think.
Yes, 8's good enough.
You've done it in the past?
I've done 8.
I know when we leave the Outer Banks, we leave before 6. And when we go there, we leave before 5. But, you know.
Well, that plus I couldn't risk. So I went to the bank on Friday, to the M&T Bank in Annapolis on Friday.
Because it was payday.
It was payday.
So you still get a paper check.
I'm the only person in the country who gets paper checks. Mm-hmm. So I went in there, and I was going to pull some money out for the weekend, you know, deposit most of it, but pull a little money out. The woman says, I can't give you money. I said, what are you talking about? She goes, your license is expired.
Mm.
I said, what?
She knows who you are. That seems silly.
This is in Annapolis. Oh. I don't know who I am. My license is, I've been driving around on an expired license for 3 months.
So you're like the athletes who
since my birthday
always have suspended licenses.
Always.
That's what you're doing.
For 3 months, I've been driving around on an expired license. Mm. And I had no idea.
So you're lucky I haven't been pulled over.
Exactly. But I thought that
it would
the state
just be a fine.
True, but I thought that the state would notify me and say, hey, your license is good.
Yeah, I think you never got anything in the mail?
Never got anything. Yeah.
I think they just expect you to look down every once in a while.
Yeah, and I never look at my expiration date.
Yeah.
Usually it's good for 5 or 10 years.
Yeah, usually
too.
It's good forever.
No, it's like I think it's like 5 years. Maybe it's 4.
I think the last time I had mine.
Well, expired on 5/4/18.
Yeah.
So I gotta get my ass to the DMV.
All right,
today.
I'm looking at mine right now. Yeah, I'm good till 2025.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Weird. I just got mine in the last year. Maybe you know, I seem to lose mine every 3 or 4 years. So I'm over there.
So I had no idea. So
EB's back.
So I couldn't risk going, you know, 75 on Route 50 on the way back.
Right. EB's back, and when you left the show, it was kind of bit season still. We were doing the peanut butter and jelly contest.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're coming back, and we're in the meat of a lot of things going on.
It was an awesome
week. We left
the
show on Friday. Well, not necessarily an awesome outcome, because a lot of people are saying we should play this. Darius Geis, he looked like he was smoking and joking on the sidelines. I did not peg him for a torn ACL.
No.
So Darius Geis tears his ACL. Then they lose Robert Davis to a torn ACL. Now he was fighting.
I think
to be
he
a
has an LCL.
Something like that.
But they're
he's
putting
out
him
the
on
year.
the injury reserve.
Well, I mean, the Geis story is huge.
Yeah. So the Geis story happens. You got the University of Maryland scandal happening. Mm-hmm. You know, really coming to the forefront. Some of these details are almost unbelievable that they were like forcing a dude to eat candy bars.
Yes.
And forcing another guy to eat.
Well, they're mocking him by making him eat the candy
that.
Bars. Yeah.
But I mean,
but that pales in comparison to what we heard about McNair.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's the reason that Durkin's going to get fired.
I understand that, but we knew that McNair died. And we didn't necessarily know all the details.
But you kind of, when I heard the details that he died, you kind of just thought, oh, it's sad. It's horrible. Unfortunately, sometimes kids die and playing football, mm-hmm. and you think maybe it's just a little out of shape. You didn't realize that they neglected the symptoms, apparently, the way it's been reported, for almost 2 hours.
Yeah.
you know, where we, you know, he gets to the hospital 90 plus minutes after first showing signs with a temperature of 106, where this is all completely preventable if you can get him in an ice bath in 30 minutes.
Yeah, it does.
I mean, so, you know.
You have to ask yourself what kind
on
of.
On an 80 degree day.
What kind of incompetence is running rampant
but
over there?
But I bring
at
up those other things, the candy bars, forcing a guy to eat because.
Well, making people eat till they throw up.
Toxic culture. And I just can't see DJ Durkin survive in there. And then the Nationals last night. Mm-hmm. I didn't watch it, but Scherzer pitches a gem. I don't stay up till the ninth inning. And the bullpen blows it again. I know it's Ryan Madsen, not Sean Doolittle. Gives up a grand slam. I looked at the loss column. They're 5.5 back still. Somehow, magically, they're still just 5.5 back, which is always kind of that line where it's like, okay, we can still grasp. 7 back in the loss column.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen. It's just one of those years.
I mean, the bullpen has just been awful since Doolittle went down.
Maybe they can get hot and go on that 6-game winning streak we keep waiting for, but it doesn't look like it's going
to happen. I think it is time to play Titanic for the Nationals. For the Redskins, they didn't have a running back last year. So, to me, if the defense gets better, they should be better.
Still
if Alex Smith can play as well as Kirk Cousins did last year.
Still a huge loss.
Big loss because there was so much hype.
They basically had the same running back crew they had last year.
Correct.
Yeah. So that's the thing. And then last year's running attack was awful. The one thing I will say, and this is where the homer in me comes out, is I actually have like the flashes I've seen of like Byron Marshall and some, you know, Capri Gibbs and something like that. So maybe Capri Bibbs, is that his name?
Yes, Bibbs. Yeah,
You know, maybe there'll be a little more pop this year. I'm no fan of Samaje Perine. Maybe Kelly will be a little better. But, yeah, it's definitely a big blow for the rushing attack.
Were
no
you
doubt.
Able to watch the game at all when you were down in Carolina?
I honestly watched two series, and I turned it off, and we watched a movie as a family.
Mm-hmm.
So I wasn't really that interested.
Yeah. Well, they didn't have one starter on the field.
Yeah, I wasn't interested. I watched two series and turned it off. It was fine.
Well, they had Geis on the field.
Yes.
Yeah, I missed that.
Projected starter.
Pretty quickly, he was out. But,
yeah,
that was
And it was on the tantalizing run that he got hurt.
Unbelievable news.
Yeah.
Because he definitely had a burst and ability that the other running backs don't have. You could see in Geis,
but you know,
just through the few carries, that he has the home run potential.
But here's the thing. Here's what I was thinking. And my son suffered an ACL. A lot of people suffer ACL injuries. And, you know, if you get good surgery and it's not a ridiculous injury with 19 other ligaments, you can come back from it if you have mm-hmm. good rehab and everything.
Sure.
But you can come back from it great. Athletes do it all the time. But I was trying to think of a prime athlete, specifically a running back, who had an injury like that before his first carry and then went on and had a stellar career.
Before his first carry, it might be tough to find.
It's hard.
I think you can find running backs who've torn their ACL.
Oh, it happens all the time.
Yeah.
But, like, so that kid just set back a career forever. Like, I just hope he can come back and just – this is just like a mulligan.
Up mm-hmm. in the road.
Yeah. I hope. But
just to know that you're going the entire year without him, man, Skins fans just got to be besides themselves.
Yeah, we have some cuts of Gruden talking about it. Here's Gruden's initial reaction to the Geis injury. I mean, on Friday when we did the show, I thought maybe it's like a sprained MCL.
All the reports
maybe
were
out for a couple weeks.
Well, it's because he was walking around on the sideline. Yeah. It was no limp. You know, he said he was fine. Gruden said he was fine. You know, we talked to Craig Hoffman. He said everyone around the team was saying, yeah, it's not a big deal. Do the precautionary MRI, but
well, also it didn't look spectacular the way he was tackled. It was just very sort of normal.
I mean, usually, look, I tore my ACL. I knew it immediately. But now I'd had other. Maybe he's never had an injury like that to diagnose it. I'd had other types of injuries which were not torn ACLs. So when I did it, I suspected.
Well, there's also a telltale
ACL.
Pop.
Yeah,
and if you hear that. Then you know you're pretty.
Do you
much
know that?
I didn't hear that. I just knew I was wobbly.
Do you know that news broke at about, I'm going to guess, around 3 o'clock on Friday?
Yeah.
Roughly. Someone texted me, someone I know very well texted me at about noon and mm-hmm. said, I'm hearing it's a torn ACL. Look at this text. And my buddy goes, oh my God, it's torn ACL. And I wanted to text you. I wanted to text, you know, Hoff. I wanted to break the news.
Tweet it out.
I wanted to break the story, but I didn't feel 100% confident because I didn't really talk to the source. I just talked to my buddy who talked to the source. And if we would have been wrong on that, That would have made us look
stupid.
Yeah,
it's not worth it. The business of breaking news is for losers.
But that would have been pretty cool to break that story.
Breaking news is for losers because ultimately, if you get one thing wrong, they just attack you.
But it's really hard.
It breaks the Redskins.
Yeah, they just Rappaport.
But if you get it right.
Yeah, we've done it a few times, but it's stressful. It's not worth it.
Valdez, I wanted to do it so bad.
Yeah. I wish you would have told me. I don't care what people say.
It's not worth it because he didn't have it first.
I would have said, I have it on semi-good authority.
Right. That ain't going to go anywhere.
That guy tore his ACL.
Yeah.
By the way, Valdez, looks like he cleaned up.
Oh, yeah. I definitely shaved over the weekend.
Would you have like a wedding or something?
No. I was.
It just looking terrible.
It was a disaster.
Yeah. You need a fresh start.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. And then I showered and then, you know, I could have won the 2018 Reggie Bush contest.
Really?
So I just decided.
Oh, did you do that too?
Oh, yeah.
You look silly down there now?
Yeah, I got it.
Was it the pressure of Brooks Koepka performing and your wife has a crush on him?
My wife has the biggest crush on Brooks Koepka.
Right. So you had to step up your game.
I think she wants to bang him.
Right.
And you know what? I would probably let her.
I'm sure she does.
She's jealous of Jenna Sims.
I don't think you would let her, but I'm sure she sighs.
I would throw that's her one seed.
Is it?
That's on her bucket list.
So maybe that's why you cleaned up. Anyway, here's what Gruden said initially when he hears about the Geis injury.
What was your reaction to the Darius news?
Well, we're obviously very upset for Darius. You know, he's put a lot of work in and very promising rookie season ahead of him. But unfortunately, these injuries happen. He's a great kid. He's going to work hard. He'll recover. And so there's no problem there. I just, you know, we're disappointed for Darius. You know, we had high hopes for him, what he would do for this football team. And we would accomplish his rookie year as a person and all that good stuff. But I know that knowing him and knowing the doctors we have and rehab that we're going to give him, provide for him, he'll be 100% in no time.
Luckily, he doesn't have the doctors at University of Maryland because he wouldn't be bouncing back that quick.
Well, the trainers.
That is just huge.
It's just huge. My perspective on it again is, what has been the problem with the team the last couple of years? Sure, they haven't been able to run the football, but that's not really Gruden's MO. Their offense is fine if everybody's healthy. Gruden finds a way to move the ball. It's that their defense absolutely has been horrible. The defense has sucked. So if the defense can improve, and they've been drafting Alabama defensive linemen, if those two guys can be what they are supposed to be, and the defense gets good, and the offense performs like it has, they're not going to have that running game. They haven't had it, and they've been fine offensively, in my mind. I think they can be okay.
Well, what's okay?
Obviously, you thought they were
going to be just okay even with Geis.
Correct.
Okay, so
I just don't think it's a devastating thing to a Jay Gruden offense.
It's not devastating.
Jay Gruden, we even talked about this last
week. It's not as devastating as the Cowboys
15 carries
losing Elliott last year.
Right.
But what if Geis was worth one win, maybe two wins?
Oh, he might have been worth more than that. I think most people expected if he played 16 games, he was for sure going over 1,000 yards.
The bigger loss would be Alex Smith.
Say that for any team.
Yeah,
and the quarterback is the most important position.
Yeah, listen, they still have a fighting chance. We'll see what they do. It doesn't just nuke the year, but I put it this way. I feel a lot better about my 5-11 than I did before the injury.
Hmm.
You know, my 5-11 prediction, which I think now is in play again. I was almost ready to revise it a little bit.
But it sucks because he has been the most hyped Redskins player.
Yeah, somebody
in
to be excited
years.
About. Now I just have to get excited about the quarterback and just hope the quarterback makes plays.
What was your initial reaction when you heard it?
I wasn't shocked. Because when they said they were doing an MRI, that always is scary. So when I knew the night before that they were doing an MRI and they were calling it a knee injury. Well, there are only a few ligaments in there. So when I saw that it was torn ACL, I was not shocked.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just expect it. It happens all the time. There'll be 30 of them this year.
But you weren't devastated.
No, because I don't think they're going to do that much this year anyway. I think the schedule's very, very difficult.
But
I'm excited for the season. I still am. And again, I know this is where a slight bit of Homer in me comes out. I saw some of those young guys I think are pretty good, actually. I'm not a P. Ryan guy, but I actually am higher on Bibbs and Byron Marshall.
They got some wiggle.
I like those guys a little better.
So, all right, we got a bunch of guests coming up on the show today. We will talk Redskins throughout the show. We hit the Skins at 7 o'clock. Craig Hoffman, a Redskins beat reporter, will give us the latest. They, of course, are having practices joint practices with the Jets, and apparently there was a brawl. They're going to play the Jets later this week. So Seehoff will join us at 7. Chris Russell at 8. We'll get into the PGA Championship with Steve Sands at 8:40 from the Golf Channel. And Brian McNally at 9, all right here on the Junkies. Keep it here.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You know, it's that time of year where there is just a, there's a buzz because there's a lot of sports stories, including the NFL, with training camp starting and then preseason. But also, Junkies Poker Open, just a few weeks away now, coming up September 7th. We hope you can join us, MGM National Harbor. It's presented by Potomac Metals. You can get all the details at junkiespokeropen.com. But the bottom line is, Thursday night, we're going to have a little get-together, a welcome party to get ready for our Friday morning show, followed by the tournament. We did it last year. We set a record in the state of Maryland. We had over 600 participants in the Junkies Poker Open. So looking forward to that. Put it on your calendar. We hope to see you for September 7th, MGM National Harbor, where I went on Saturday night, went to fish.
Oh, that's right.
First time I've eaten at fish.
845 reservation.
845 reservation. Very unlike cakes. But you know what? The casinos.
Unlike me.
The casino was popping at that time.
Well, of course.
And I ended up getting the sampler, and they just kept bringing up the $75 healthy to pay for the chef sampler.
Yeah.
And they just keep bringing things out, whether it's oysters or clams, and ultimately it was a trout was the main course. The main course had like 7 things before that.
Yeah, you're probably totally full. I don't even know how
totally
you
full.
I don't even know how you ate.
Is that a sampler just for one person or for the entire table?
For one person.
Oof. That's a lot. $75 just for your meal.
Yes.
It went all
it's
in.
Like a tasting menu. Tasting course.
That's what it was. Although I forget what the
tasting thing though often is just a little tiny little.
Yeah, they're very small portions.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like for restaurant week or something. But that's the real McCoy.
Have
JP
a good
got.
Time every time I go to MGM National Harbor. Hadn't been there in a while.
And you didn't see a show, just went there for dinner.
Didn't see a show. The dinner lasted so long, you know, it drinks that it was, I think, 11 o'clock when we wrapped up dinner and
that's
dessert
fun,
and everything.
I like that. That's fun.
That we just ended up going home. Like, we were playing. Like, I actually, for me, I had $150. I was ready to do a little gambling. I know $150 doesn't go a long way, but that's as much as I'm willing to lose.
Right.
And by the time it's 11 o'clock, like, Kelsey was babysitting. I think we left at around 6:30 or something like that. We went there early and had some drinks.
Was it a
just
you and your
couple.
Wife?
No, we went with another couple.
Can I guess your bill?
Sure.
All right. So you said all right. So did you have drinks at the bar and then went to sit down?
Drinks at the bar.
Okay.
So I'm including the drinks.
I'm adding
in
the drinks at the bar.
I can't add drinks at the bar because my boy picked up
all right,
that tab.
You can
guess
ballpark.
At it.
It's
okay, that's probably you know, $50. I'd imagine.
Oh, it's got to be more than that.
Depends how many drinks
I had a beer.
All right, I'm gonna say. Does your wife drink? Does your wife have cocktails?
My wife had a cocktail.
Okay. I'll say your bill at the... I'm going to say $379.
For everything together?
Yeah.
It's probably pretty close.
I would think it'd be more than that.
What was the dinner bill?
I think the dinner was in the high twos. Because I got the $75 thing, and so did my buddy.
All right,
that's
so,
$150 right there.
So high twos plus
I think
plus,
the women split
the
like a rockfish.
Plus the tip. It was
correct.
Probably a $60 tip.
Oh, you got hooked because they split. That hooked you.
They split like
rockfish
a rockfish.
Rockfish is silly, though. Was it crab meat?
Was it stuffed with crab meat?
I don't think it was.
Everything's
got to
be stuffed with crab meat for Valdez.
It just tastes better. Everything tastes better
with crab
meat. But
it's good because every time I've been there, it's almost cliche, I go to Voltaggio.
Nice.
I think I've been to Voltaggio like 5 times.
Isn't that good? Yeah.
And I've never been to Ginger.
You got out of your box.
I finally went to fish. I've been to a Tap.
That's a hefty
sports bar.
It's a hefty meal, bro.
Yeah, good for you.
Almost $400.
I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Yeah, but you know what? Don't go out as often anymore since we have the baby. You got to get a babysitter. It's a whole thing.
Yep.
So.
Well, I'll tell you what.
And I'll lose Kelsey as the babysitter. The I actually pay her a little bit, but not full freight. Mm-hmm. I don't pay full freight. I think if you do full freight for like a one-year-old, you just it'd be like $15 an hour. I give her more like 10.
10's fine. Yeah. She's doing great.
She's family.
Yeah, of course.
Right? But I think we lose her in a week.
A little cash, though.
Or 2 weeks. Right. She's off to NYU.
Right.
Well, golf clap to Thomas C. Mooney, who paid for dinner down at the beach at Fausto's on Saturday. And I know that bill was at least.
Was your bill less than Eddie Royal's?
It was probably about the same, maybe a little bit more.
Really? I don't know the Eddie Royal story.
So
he's got sources that Eddie Royal was stunned when he saw a bill.
Well, it was.
Why, he normally goes and gets hooked?
No, it was D'Angelo Hall,
yeah.
Eddie Royal, Sean Glennon, and Mike Emo.
Right,
all,
where?
All at Fausto's. Uh-huh. They went down for a golf weekend.
Restaurante right. Antipasti.
Antipasti, right. And D'Angelo's taking pictures with the chef and with, you know, a bunch of people, you know, fans over
he
there.
He thinks that's trade.
He's thinking, oh, I might get hooked. And then all of a sudden, Fausto comes out and just starts saying, don't worry about the menus. I got you. I'm going to take care of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they've never been to Fausto's before. They don't understand how Fausto works. See, when Fausto says, don't worry about the menus, that means he's going to start bringing out all kinds of stuff.
Sure.
And it's going to end up on the bill. So he brings out this he brings out this garlic steak, which is this huge piece of steak that two can share. And he brought out two of those. And they're like $90,
ooh,
right? And all of a sudden, the bill comes in. It's like $450, and Eddie Royal is salty. Because Eddie Royal didn't.
Well, he's just one of the guys, though, right? It wasn't $450 for Eddie, was it?
No, it was $450 for the table.
Okay. That's,
yeah.
And, it's not unreasonable.
But I think Eddie was pissed that he wasn't able to order his own meal.
Or he might have ordered, you know, petite filet.
Right. He might have ordered a piece of fish or something, right?
Yeah. They roped him into.
But Thomas C. Mooney took care of it on Saturday. Like, thank you, Thomas C. Mooney. Demonte Dodd's family probably paid for it.
We were at the beach all week. We didn't eat out once. We did do. I guess that's not really fair because we did do takeout twice. I guess
that's it.
Yeah, usually we just cook. Each family would take turns cooking. It's not like you know
for dinner. What about
we had 19
for lunch?
People? Sure you go to a restaurant with 19 people.
You didn't go
people.
To any sandwich places for lunch.
No, because we're right. You know, right. Literally 100 yards from the beach. So we just go back to that. Or they also have. That's not true too. The pool has a snack bar.
See, I roll the opposite way. When I do vacation, like in Outer Banks,
you'll eat all
because
the
time. We'll go, and my mother-in-law will go too, and she'll try and stuff the refrigerator and make it seem like you should eat there. And I actually told her this time, I was like, you know what? When I go on vacation, I like to just go out to eat, even if it's going to one place in Outer Banks, which I like. Their Chex has pretty good sandwiches, semi-healthy, tropical smoothie. They have like a decent little, you know, panini menu and things like that. Or you'll get a little pizza spot if you want to slice.
Yeah,
but I like going out.
That's nice if you have a small family. We have 19.
Yeah.
You go to 19, you say table for 19,
no, you
you're there
it.
For two hours.
But you could probably split the families for a little bit.
Yeah, that's not as fun. We just eat in.
That's funny.
But
yeah, so your house, how many bedrooms was the house? You had 19 people.
I don't even know. Not
seven?
No. Maybe five. I don't even know.
So good size house?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Great size house.
They had four
beds in one with a lot of the kids. And then, like, three kids every night were sleeping on this massive couch. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just sleep wherever you want.
Yeah.
Basically how it works.
That is a lot of people.
But
I don't know if I could do a vacay with 19 people in the house.
If it's your family, you figure it out.
It's a lot.
I know you figure it out, but my family would get on my nerves.
I don't have that big of a family, but one of our best vacations. And even, look, in Italy, we intersected paths a few times. Now, we didn't stay together the whole time, but when the cousins get together, it's great. He has a bunch of kids that are all
the kids. They love it. Awesome. He has 10 kids. They all love it.
Yeah, then you just let them run around.
Yeah, they're having a great time.
But let's talk about the PGA.
I couldn't believe JP didn't watch any of it.
That was riveting television. It was awesome to watch.
I think Amanda I watched on Thursday, maybe.
Yeah, right.
A few minutes.
Yeah, well, you missed some drama if you didn't watch Friday, Saturday.
Dude, I went to Adventure Park USA doing mini roller coasters.
Well, you missed one of the great
that
majors.
Was yesterday?
Yes.
See, I surround my weekends with the sports schedule. I would never, ever plan anything on a Sunday, especially when Tiger's playing in a major.
Well, the whole deal is here, just to pull back the curtain. I told my son I was going to take him to a theme park at some point this summer. Summer, I told you this on Friday, it's almost over. I know you declared it over in July.
July 4th, yeah.
It's a couple weeks left, so I'm looking at the calendar, and I'm about to start to get real busy because I'll be doing Redskins pregame on the radio, Redskins postgame on TV. So it's like a couple weekends left. He did this field trip.
If you don't
thing.
Do it, PGA. I would care weekend.
About the PGA championship.
I would have pushed it to when they're playing the Wyndham.
And a lot of people don't care about the PGA championship.
Oh,
there are
the
a lot of people who do.
Be pretty big.
I can't wait to see the ratings.
A lot of people who do. Ratings would be pretty big.
But I think it's great that Tiger was lurking.
Oh, it was awesome. I mean, there was so much drama yesterday, and
amazing leaderboard,
incredible leaderboard. Tiger's iron play was just so freaking stupid. How good he was!
If he could hit the ocean off the tee, he wins that thing by
so bitter.
10 shots.
Yeah, that's true.
But it's fine. Brooks Koepka, by the way, deserves it. He's an amazing champion.
But you know what? Brooks Koepka deserves. He deserves to be talked about when people start talking about Ricky Fowler and DJ. And speed.
He's got way more accomplished than Ricky Fowler.
His career destroys Fowler's, and he's never talked about in the same breath.
Well, it's going to happen now.
He's going to Hall of Fame.
It should have happened before. He had two U.S. Opens.
Like, this is the way I look at it as a very casual golf fan. It seems to me since the Tiger dominance period, there's always somebody that you're hoping is the next Tiger. So for a while, it was Rory. And then you could sprinkle in a couple guys who they thought, Adam Scott, Jason Day, then it became Spieth, and then, you know, maybe now it's Brooks Koepka, and we'll see if it lasts, or it just might be.
I think you could throw all those guys in the hat because they're all incredible
talents.
They're all
great. No, they're all really good players, but they've never been able to be a dominant guy.
About Brooks Koepka this year at the U.S. Open Shinnecock, after the first round, he was watching Golf Channel, and they were flashing all the scores. And they, you know, they always flash the leaderboard, and they flash notables. Mm-hmm. Okay,
he wasn't a notable.
So they had Rory, they had Spieth, they had DJ, they had Phil, they had Tiger, all the notables, right? They had no Koepka, and he apparently he was pissed. He's like, how come I get no love? And I don't know what it is. Maybe it's the personality. Maybe it's the fact that he hasn't won the two majors this year, right?
Dull.
He's got three majors, two this year.
He won one last year.
He's had seven starts in majors, and he's won three of them.
Yeah.
How old is he?
29, maybe.
I think he's 28.
28.
He had
so
a little
did it
bit
take
of a longer
route. To get going.
He had a little bit of a longer
but,
route.
Yeah, but he was playing on the European
tour. Yeah, he got his card in the Euro Tour, then had an injury kind of like on his first or second year over here in the States. Yeah. Had a huge wrist injury.
Right now, yeah.
Yeah, and
that sidetracked him.
Yeah, he was out for 3 months this year, but
he's on a winning Ryder Cup team last year too.
Yeah,
so he's an accomplished golfer.
He's unbelievable.
Golf fans know who he is.
I mean, he's already had a Hall of Fame career, and he's only got four wins, but three of them majors.
Yeah,
I just think that people need to talk about Koepka when they talk about Ricky and DJ and all these other guys.
I don't think there's any way to avoid it at this point.
I think
there's too much winning.
Yeah,
but by the same token, and by the way, he destroyed the course. I mean, he was a monster off the tee. He was hitting 340-yard bombs with regularity.
I can't believe how far he hits a golf ball.
It's unbelievable. And it just
and how straight it is.
And the pressure just never got to him.
I know.
You know, with Tiger surge. Tiger shooting 64 on Sunday.
He's playing a whole back of Tiger's group. There's 7 million people following Tiger. He hears the roar. You probably hear the roars from Kansas City. And he knows that everyone's rooting for Tiger, and he's still out there just drilling fairways.
Completely unfazed. Well, and then he would get in a tough spot, and his nice little pitches and chips up.
Well, was it the last hole, or was it the par 5 where he drove at 338?
That was the par 5. That was 17.
So it's number 17, and you're trying to close out a major. You would think you're going to dial it back a little bit and just try and get it out there.
He just ripped.
And he ripped it 338.
He did it with a two-shot lead on 18, too.
That's not – yeah.
He just kept ripping.
Yeah, he cut the corner.
There's no reason not to, the way he hits that thing. But
he's so confident.
But when he plays on a drier course, you know, where there's a lot of run, like the British, he's not going to have that same advantage, right? So he could hit a 330-yard carry drive, which is ridiculous, and not worry about it rolling into the rough.
Yeah.
So he's not going to – the courses aren't going to play like this every week, but when they do, watch out.
I think they were all surprised at how soft that course was.
Yeah, when they were just throwing darts at it. I mean, Tiger was – unbelievable from the fairway.
Yes, he was.
Unbelievable. He was unbelievable from the rough.
His short game was unbelievable.
He was just the greatest scrambler of all time.
I mean,
Tiger lost the tournament on the second hole. By the second hole, he lost the tournament. Because if he pars 1 and 2, he wins the tournament.
He also kind of loses momentum during the restart on round 2. Because he was balling on the front, and then the delay came. And even though the course was playing softer Saturday morning.
He had a little momentum, but then he gave it back.
You mean on Thursday?
No. I'm talking about 1 and 2 on Thursday.
He's
talking about the restart.
I'm talking about the restart on Friday.
Between the second and third round, or in the middle of the second round.
Yeah.
Yeah, on Friday.
Where he had three birdies through 5 holes, and then they completely
destroyed
his momentum.
He started out 3 over. If he pars the first 2 holes, he wins the tournament. Easy. Yeah.
Well, and by the way, the dog
talked about his warm up and how his warm up sucked on Thursday morning because he teed off really early. And, you know, he says when he doesn't have a good warm up, he comes out there and he starts off slow and he struggles and takes him a while to get put together.
But your week of practice theory, to me, goes out the door that you figured because he played the week before and he kind of wet the bed on Saturday and Sunday in whatever tournament that was.
Yeah.
I couldn't have been more wrong about GC.
That he wasn't going to be ready. I think both of you guys, or at least one of you, said he was
the way he played Saturday and Sunday last week was not.
I thought it was a bad matchup because he played so poor Saturday and Sunday and he didn't have the week off to kind of clean things up.
And he could barely play.
What do you guys predicted missed cut?
I said a missed cut I would not be shocked if Tiger missed the cut.
Well, he beat everybody but one guy.
Yeah.
Okay. And it's only a matter of time before he starts winning. I don't know if he's going to win a major. I think he will. I think he'll probably win a couple of them. Because I think he's going to, if he stays healthy, he's going to keep doing this.
You got to wait several months now.
Now you got to wait like 266 days. It's ridiculous. Well,
He could win a FedEx event.
No, I know. But the majors are the ones that we really, really care about.
Well, I know. But if you just want to see him win, he could win a FedEx event.
Absolutely.
I mean,
but I'm just talking about the
fields get smaller.
But typically, now it's a little bit more exciting the way they've done this. And I'm getting a little bit excited for the FedEx events, largely because Tiger's playing. But typically, once the PGA Championship is over, you pretty much pack in your golf season.
Well, Ryder Cup.
Ryder Cup is cool, too, but that's the team event. You know, it's a little different. I'll watch it, of course, but it's not the same as watching a major.
You three are such big golf nerds.
Well, we're not the only. Dude, you're...
Wait till the ratings come out.
We're watching that yesterday Tiger was in the mix.
Twitter
was on fire.
Did you see how many people were just following him? I mean, it was unbelievable.
And then
when he's walking off the course after he putts out 18, and everyone knows who's going to win the tournament, it's going to be Koepka. And he's walking off the course, and they're cheering him so loud like he'd won the tournament.
No, I saw a picture from Thursday where it was like 15 rows deep. Everybody said there was a side-by-side picture, though. I didn't see it. That went viral of him in 2001, I believe it was, with the gallery. And then now, and the big difference was, in 2001, everybody was actually watching his swing. And in 2018, everybody had their phone.
So
they actually aren't looking at the swing. They're videoing the swing.
Yeah. No, they love to get
it. Which I'm sure Tiger loves when everybody's got their camera out.
But think about it. Think about it, fellas.
That's how it is for
think about
now.
How hard it is to win on a PGA Tour. Tiger Woods... There's no chance Tiger Woods in his career had 8 birdies in a final round of a tournament and lost the tournament. That's never happened. I mean,
he definitely set some records.
I would have to fact check, but there's no chance he ever had 8 birdies in the final round of a tournament and lost.
Well, it's definitely the best consecutive 3 rounds he's ever had in a major by 4 shots.
Correct.
By 4 shots. It's also, he set a record at the PGA Championship by shooting 130 in the last 2 days. It's never happened before.
Right. And he's still winning the tournament.
Nine guys
have
shot 131.
That's how hard it is to win.
Yeah. Well, he just gave it away. Like I said, he gave it away on the first 2 holes.
Yeah, and it didn't help that he bogeyed, what was that, 15 yesterday?
He had a cut. We had the 3 putt on Saturday. Was it on 17? That was inexcusable.
It was 14 yesterday. 14.
It's just, you know, there were a lot of places. He left a lot of shots out there.
I think
there.
I watched that. He had a chance at an eagle, and he ended up botching it.
That was on Saturday.
It might have been Saturday. Yeah, so I did Saturday. Watch a few minutes this weekend.
Did you get chills on number 3, the par 3, where he almost dunked it?
Yes.
Because of the crowd roar?
How about the 8-iron he hit to a foot?
5 beyond.
I mean, this thing landed 5 inches from the cup.
I mean, his iron play is so stellar.
You know what's funny is you heard the roars when Tiger hit that shot. If Brooks Koepka hits that exact same shot, it's like this.
He just don't get as excited.
Hey, I know. They just love Tiger.
He's clearly the favorite in the match now. Tiger versus Bill.
Yeah.
The match.
That's so dumb.
I'm going to lose that bet, but that's fine. I want to see Tiger win.
I'm going to watch it, but that's just stupid.
I don't
made
care
for TV crap.
You know what? I probably won't even watch it.
No, I'll watch it because it's Tiger.
Is that Thanksgiving weekend?
Yes, that's
so
Saturday.
So much college football to watch.
I'm assuming they're going to run it at night. Are they going to do it at night? Yeah, under lights and stuff?
Got to be.
Like some of it under lights? That's how I think they should do it.
Yeah, he's the favorite.
Are there lights on that course?
Or
they
can do temporary lights.
They're going to put temp lights up?
I know they've done that.
Have they already
said
that? I didn't hear that.
I would assume that's how it'll finish.
Maybe.
All right, phone number if you want to chime in is 800-636-1067. A lot to get into on the show. 7 o'clock, we hit the skins with Craig Hoffman. We'll talk about the Darius Geis injury, the brawl between the Redskins and Jets and more. Keep it here. Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. Now, we opened the show talking about how there's just a ton of things to get into. In the 7 o'clock hour, we will revisit the Maryland situation. Craig Hoffman, our Redskins beat reporter, is going to join us coming up at 7. Fill us in on the latest on the Redskins brawl with the Jets and more. But we wanted to open up to callers now at 800-636-1067. You can call us on the Hadid, Carpet Clean, Lister lines. Your thought on the Darius Geis injury. Obviously devastating for him. But do you think it's devastating for the team? 800-636-1067. I tend to be optimistic, but I said I don't find it to be devastating for the team because they haven't had a great running game. Gruden's always had good offenses. To me, it's almost a luxury. It would have been great. Maybe it would have changed the tenor of the team and changed the way that they played and maybe even helped out the defense. But to me, the success of this year's team is going to be all about the defense drastically improving. If that can happen and the offense plays like it has been the last couple of years, then all of a sudden I think they have a shot at the playoffs. If the defense has the worst unit against the run again and Daron Payne's a flop and Jonathan Allen plays five games and it's kind of the same thing that we've seen, then they're going to be 6-10, 7-9 again.
To what degree it's going to affect the team, who knows? Devastating might be too strong a word, but you're taking a really good player away from their offense.
Yeah.
So it certainly affects them. I don't know if it's devastating, but, you know, who knows? If he was a 1,200-yard rusher, that could have been worth a couple wins. And if you think this team is right on the cusp of a wild card spot, you know, 9-10 wins, well, you take him away, then all of a sudden you got 7.
So, I know, it just hurts from fan interest perspective.
We'll see.
Like, I was really, really excited to see this kid play. It was like, you know, it was almost like a new toy.
They were marketing him, too.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we did the story last week where they're basically begging Redskins fans to go to games now. Yeah. They're throwing in Jay-Z and Beyonce tickets.
Well, you can now buy individual tickets, right, to games.
Well, guess who they're promoting? I think on the individual tickets, they're throwing Geis, Daron Payne. Those are the guys who they're selling.
Yeah. And Alex Smith.
I don't know. I'm weirdly optimistic about the group. Like, I love Chris Thompson when he's healthy. Now, it doesn't help that he says he doesn't feel like he's going to be 100% until November. But, you know, if he's at 90%+, Chris Thompson's pretty damn good. And I like some of the younger guys that flashed a little bit towards the end of last year. I don't think they're as good as Geis. But I think they should be able to run the ball better this year than they did last
year. Are you kicking the tires on some of the guys available?
You know they're going to have another injury at that position. It just happens all the time.
I'm sure.
You're going to have another injury, which affects the depth. So, you know, if you lose Geis and then you lose, let's just say you lose Kelly or P. Ryan or you lose Thompson, then all of a sudden you're relying on guys like Bibbs.
So you have no interest in bringing back Alfred Morris or grasping at Adrian Peterson?
No.
I actually like the group they have. I thought it was going to be a difficult cut.
Orleans Darkwa is available.
Yeah. No, I like who they have. I like the group.
I would take Darkwa over the other two.
Here's what Jay Gruden said about how they plan to replace Darius Geis.
As far as replacing him on the roster, you're going to maybe look at a veteran? You're going to think of going to the guys that you have? What's your thinking at this point?
He was sixth string on the depth chart, you know. we have guys that here in play. You know, we drafted Darius because he's the best player we thought at the time of the draft, and we thought he could really help our football team, not because we weren't satisfied with the backs we had. We thought he'd be a, you know, heck of a player for us. So with Rob and Samaje and what Byron did the other night, as flashes he showed, obviously Chris Thompson, Capri Bibbs had a couple big hits. I think we are pretty good at the running back spot.
Yeah, I actually agree with him. I think you got a pretty good group. It hurts from a fan perspective, and I was super excited to see the toy that they had, but I don't think it's a devastating blow.
I don't believe anything he just said about the running back position.
That's crazy.
Oh, I think they got a decent
group. I don't believe that he said. Run that back again. Run that back.
He's trying to say they didn't draft guys.
Hold on,
hold on. Need.
Just run it.
We're okay. He was sixth string on the depth chart, you know.
All right, he's kidding there.
Well, no, he actually was. Well, yeah, but they were just doing that as,
okay,
you know,
he's kidding. He was
earn
first.
His stripes.
All right, go ahead.
We have guys that here in play. You know, we drafted Darius because he's the best player we thought at the time of the draft, and we thought he could really help our football team, not because we weren't satisfied with the backs we had. We thought he'd be a, you know, heck of a player for us. So with Rob and Samaje and what Byron did the other night, as flashes as he showed. Obviously, Chris Thompson, Capri Bibbs had a couple big hits. I think we are pretty good at the running back spot.
Right, obviously, Jay, you're not satisfied with the backs you had last year, or you wouldn't have drafted one that high up in the second round.
Well, that's what his whole point was.
It was a position of need.
Well, he said he drafted because it was best player available, not because it was their position.
He's spinning a tail.
I don't believe that either. I believe they targeted him. They knew they needed a running back, especially a run one, a young one who could give you 1,200, 1,300 yards. I don't believe for 1 second that they were content with the running backs.
But he's not going to get on mic and say,
I know that. I'm just pointing out that that's a fib.
I can't believe this happened. We drafted him the second round because we were desperate for a running back. We thought we finally had him. Now what are we going to do?
They were terrible last year running the ball.
They were, but I think they have some guys that can play. They don't have a 1,200-yard back. I don't think any of those guys are. But I think collectively as a group, I think they'll be okay.
Well, every team has guys who can play.
I think they're going to be okay, though. I don't think it'll be...
I think they'll be slightly better. If Rob Kelly can stay healthy now, because he didn't last year, they'll be slightly better than they were last year.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I think losing guys is a bigger deal than maybe you guys think.
Well, I just think from a fan perspective, I didn't think they were going to win many games anyway. But I was just excited to see him because he's good.
He's good.
He's going to be exciting.
Absolutely.
So I'm going to miss that excitement factor because I don't think they have that other than Thompson, but... Who knows how healthy Thompson is? All right, let's pay out some of these calls. Let's go to PJ at Silver Spring. PJ, what's up, buddy? You're on with the Junks. Quick.
I think it's the loss of the great unknown. It was easily the most exciting thing about the season going into this year was how good is this guy going to be when you compare where Alex Smith.
I agree.
Alex Smith had last year was a home field advantage, better offensive coach, ton of weapons around him. He doesn't have any of those things now. Now the playing field is level, and you realize, he's dropped in a lesser environment. And the one thing that changed that environment was the promise of Geis, and that promise is now gone. So I think you're realistically looking at a 6-10 season, especially when you factor.
What did you think it was with him?
I thought 8-8 with really idealistic 10-6 upside. But the difference there, Eric, is that you need guys who can break a game open, a guy who can win a game almost by himself. And they don't have those. I guess Jordan Reed is that when he's healthy, but he's healthy so inconsistently. I thought Geis could have been that guy.
I agree with you. But I also think at times, Chris Thompson, when healthy, can do that. He could be special at times.
People just aren't.
The challenge is he's not going to be healthy until Thanksgiving.
But the difference between those two guys is you're not going to give Thompson the ball 22 times.
Right. I agree.
Against a stout
defense. But I don't think Gruden was going to give Geis the ball 22 times. We played that clip last week where he was talking about 15 carries.
Well, hold on. We don't know that because if he was doing work, you're going to give the ball to him.
Right. We're speculating. But I'm just saying Gruden's MO was never to give somebody
25 carries. I bet you he would have had at least one game where he had at least 22 carries.
All right. Here's what we're going to do. We have Craig Hoffman scheduled next, but we're going to hopefully bump him to 720 because we have a bunch of people going to chime in.
Okay.
We'll continue to take your calls. Your thoughts on Darius Geis tearing his ACL and being out for the year, the second-round draft pick from LSU with all the hype is not going to be there. Is this devastating for the Washington Redskins? 800-636-1067.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.